The scripture lesson this morning is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
Two men went up to the temple to pray. Sound familiar? Kind of like one of those corny jokes. Two men went into a bar, one a rabbi, one a priest. Usually it's three, I guess, and one's a Lutheran minister. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, one a tax collector. Two guys as opposite from one another as you can get. One a Pharisee, a faithful person. A 21st century analogy might be a law-abiding, church-going member of the Rotary Club, ethical businessman of the year, philanthropic family man. He coaches Little League, he teaches Sunday school, he's a head deacon, and he says prayer at dinner every night. He is an influential man in the community, and he is well-respected. The other guy is a tax collector. Now, it's kind of hard for us to know how very, very offensive this would have been to the first century ears of the people that heard Jesus tell this story. You see, a tax collector had sold his soul to the Roman Empire, the oppressors. He's a collaborator. He makes his living charging his fellow Jews exorbitant taxes so that he can skim off the top for himself. In a 21st century analogy, he could also be a successful businessman, but he's a shark. It's rumored he will do whatever it takes to get a win. He's ruthless. He knows every tax loophole, so he rarely has to pay much. He is a very powerful man in his community, but he's a man who is feared and not well respected. And yet Jesus says that this man, this tax collector and extortionist, is the one who goes out from the temple justified by God. Vindicated, made whole, back in relationship. How can this be? Well, we have to remember that Luke, the writer of Luke, loves reversals. Think of the Magnificat, Mary's song in Luke 1, right after she realizes she's pregnant with Jesus. She sings, "God will lift up the poor and lowly and scatter the proud in their imaginations. God will fill the hungry with good things and send the rich empty away." And last week, Jesus' parable on prayer was about the poor widow who finally got justice from an unjust judge. And now Jesus says that the prayers of the self-professed sinner were heard, and he was justified and made right with God. Does that mean that God did not hear the prayers of the Pharisee? don't think so. And is it wrong to be glad about good works? Now, to tell you the truth, this guy is one of you all who pledges, and he pledges a tithe so that the pastor can be paid to stand up here on Sunday morning and preach to you about the Pharisee and the tax collector. And he shows up to volunteer his time and talents, and yet there is something about his attitude of pride in his prayer that holds him away from a true relationship with God and maybe a really authentic relationship with his community. He speaks as if he is almost on par with God. God is my buddy, aren't you, God? I'm not sure that he is being completely honest with himself or with God. Are his prayers all for show, so that he can impress others and therefore gain favor with God? And the tax collector, despicable as his line of work and perhaps at times his treatment of others might be, he shows up to prayer with his entire self, the good, the bad, and the very ugly. He makes himself entirely vulnerable before God. He humbles himself in an almost embarrassingly intimate way. His self-expression is raw. He seems more honest. Who knows if he will immediately change his tax-collecting ways? Though, if you read further into chapter 19 of Luke, you will read the story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector, who did change his ways when he encountered Jesus. But we don't know about this tax collector. All we know is that in this moment of prayer, he is showing up in full force and in all humility. He is begging for a relationship with God. Now, the ancient prophets and the ancient writers of wisdom, which would have been a part of the synagogue study available to both of these men, repeatedly advised the people of God to show up with their whole hearts, their entire being. God says to the people through Isaiah, "What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices? I have had enough of burnt offerings. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow." And the rabbi who wrote the book of Sirach, which is a book of wisdom in those intertestamental books in what's sometimes called the Apocrypha, this rabbi says, "Give to the Most High as God has given to you and as generously as you can afford. Do not offer God a bribe, for it will not be accepted. Do not rely on a dishonest sacrifice, for God is the judge and will not show any partiality, and yet will listen to the prayer of one who is wronged." And I would add with that rabbi, to the prayer of one who is confessing wrong. "God will not ignore the supplication of the orphan or the widow when she pours out her complaint." Are you hearing a pattern here? Through the prophet Jeremiah, God says to the people, "I will put my law within you. I will write it on your hearts, and I will be your God, and you will be my people." There it is. What God requires in a relationship with God's people: show up. Jesus knew this. Jesus knew that God does not give up on God's people. God shows up again and again and again and again and again and again with a call to be accountable, yes, in justice, but also God shows up with unconditional love. God shows up. We are not alone. So will we show up for God? Not just with our good deeds, but with our whole heart, with our whole selves. If, as the author Madeleine L'Engle once wrote, the definition of humility is throwing oneself away in complete concentration on something or someone else, then the question for us is, are we willing to throw ourselves away in complete concentration on God? Are we willing to wholeheartedly stake our lives on the promises of God? Jesus says that the Pharisee stood by himself, and also that the tax collector was standing far off from the Pharisee. Here's these two men who went up to the temple to pray, and they are isolated from one another, and it seems from the rest of the community. The least likely candidate for sainthood makes his whole self available to God and to God's power of transformation. The seeming saint is closed off in his pride, and yet the Pharisee has a grasp on spiritual practices which can lead to relationship with God. It seems to me that maybe they need each other. The tax collector has the humility. The Pharisee has the spiritual practice habits. And both of these things are needed to fully experience and be integrated in a deep relationship with God, to know the presence and the promises of God in our hearts. We need the spiritual practices of the Pharisee, not because we are justified or made whole by them or impress God with them, but these holy habits put us in a place to be wholeheartedly honest with God. The tax collector knew that he needed the practice of prayer. He went up to the temple to pray. Prayer puts us in the space where we can be honest about ourselves and generous with others. Like the Pharisee, we need the tax collector's honesty, vulnerability, and humility in our own practices of prayer, in our own holy habits. Pledging is a holy habit. And pledging can be a prayer. As you bring your pledge forward this morning, I invite you to let it be a prayer. For it is indeed a spiritual practice. With your pledge, you bring your devotion to God and God's people, your longing for a relationship with God, for God's presence to animate and to motivate all of you and your entire life. You're not just doing a charitable deed here. In your giving, you show up for God, who always shows up for you. So this morning, may your actual bodily coming forward to place your offering or your pledge in the basket or the offering plate or both, may it be for you a place, an opportunity for a change of heart. May it transform your life. Amen.